In our most recent episode, centering around Glickel-Bas Yehuda Leib, we've discovered the numerous ways that Glickel's work shed light on Jewish life in the 17th and early 18th centuries. One of the most fascinating windows Glickel provides enables us to experience secondhand the terrible, turbulent moment of the most infamous and devastating false messiah, Mashiach Sheker, in our people's history. Glickel describes how her own family was affected by the advent of Shabsai Tzvi. At the time that Glickel's daughter Mati was born, the news of this persona, Shabsai Tzvi, arrived in Hamburg. And Glickel records just how this news came, the way it often did in those days, through letters that arrived from the end of the year 1665 to the beginning of 1666, and the captivating sweep of anticipation of the Geula, the redemption. She tells how the letters were received by members of the Sephardic community. Crowds would gather in the Portuguese Beit Knesset, where the letters were read out loud, and so the Ashkenazic Jews would flock along to hear them as well. The Portuguese boys would even dress up in their Shabsai Tzvi outfits, their dressiest garb with sashes of green silk. Imagine the waves of excitement, of expectation, of hope. Glickel's own father-in-law left his home in Hamel and moved to Hildesheim and sent two large barrels of preserved food to the home of Glickel and Chaim. He planned to migrate from there to Eretz Yisrael. And, of course, he wasn't the only one with aspirations like these. But to everyone's sorrow, the Geula never came. How ironic that Glickel gives voice to these dashed hopes by comparing them to a woman in the throes of labor, writhing in the pains that threatened to overwhelm her, only to learn that she was experiencing a hysterical pregnancy, that despite all of that promising suffering, there was to be no child, no reward for that hopeful anguish after all. There are other testimonies that we have, trusted, important source materials from that era, also emerging from Hamburg, that are found in the writings of one of the great sages of the time, a vehement and vocal opponent to Shabsai Tzvi, Rabbi Yaakov Sasportas. The Rav arrived in Hamburg in 1665 from London, England, where he held the position of rabbinic leader of the Sephardic community until the rampant plague that broke out there forced him to migrate with his family to Germany. Rav Yaakov was a Talmud Chacham, a descendant of the Ramban, and a child of Morocco. He grew to become a Talmudic master and key presence in Amsterdam, London, Hamburg, and Livorno. Rav Yaakov was renowned for his great sagacity and his steadfast, unflinching position against the overwhelming tide that swept the nation in the times of Shabsai Tzvi. Rav Yaakov's sefer on the subject, Tzitzatz Novel Tzvi, includes his own letters from the time he lived in Hamburg, addressed to rabbis of other communities, as well as letters from his opponents and a historical depiction of the events as they unfolded. We'll soon find the expression of his vehement opposition to Shabsai Tzvi and to Shabtaot, evident in one of his responsa. But before we dig into the Shaila, we need a tiny bit of context. The Torah commands the Kohanim to bless Bnei Yisrael each day, and the Rambam states, Shenitztavu haKohanim levareches Yisrael b'chol yom. And the Rambam continues to write that this mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim is applicable in every place at every time. The Sefer HaChinuch also enumerates this as mitzvah Shinayin Ches, Nitztavu HaKohanim Sheivarchu Yisrael B'chol Yom. And if this is the mitzvah, we understand that the reverse is true as well. A Kohen that does not go up to Duchen is thereby remiss in the performance of a mitzvah Saseh. And that's what the Rambam asserts in Hilchas Tfilah Unasiyas Kapayim Perak Tesvav Halacha Yud Beis. Kol kohen she'eno ala l'duchan afal pi shebitel mitzvah sase achas, hareze ka'over al shalosh ase, shene'emar, ho sevarchu es b'nei Yisrael, amar lahem, v'samu es shemi, v'kol kohen she'eno mevarech, eno misbarech, v'kol kohen ha'mevarech, misbarech, shene'emar, v'avaracha mevarachecha. If a kohen skips this element of service, even though technically he's only being mevatel one positive commandment, it is as if he misses out on three of them, according to the tripartite elements in the language of the mitzvah. And any Kohen that does not bless is not blessed. And every Kohen that blesses is himself blessed. Still and all, Within the Kehilos Ashkenaz in Chutz La'aretz, outside of the land of Israel, it is traditional for Kohanim to go up and bless Bnei Yisrael only on Yamim Tovim. Now this minhag seems to upend the halacha as we just reviewed it, the very one that requires a Kohen to be Mevarich Bnei Yisrael each and every day. So the origins of this minhag are clouded in haze, and without getting involved in the depth of it right now, much ink of many wise men has been poured in attempt to explain how it came to be. The tradition is deeply ensconced in practice and in Ashkenazic halachic tomes. As the Rama writes on the Shulchan Aruch, Va'ani omer v'chule, ki machmas bitol malacha la'am shebe'elu ha'aratzos, sheha'kohanim v'ha'am terudin b'mchiasan b'galusan, ve'en lahem lefarnes b'nei beisan, ki im halechem asher yilketu b'zias apam dvar yom b'yomo, ve'enam shruyim b'simcha, l'chein, ein nosim kapehem b'yom sheyesh bo bitol malacha la'am, ve'af b'shabes ein nosim kapehem, mipnei sheterudin b'machshavtam, ve'herhurim al ma'ase yedehem she'avru, v'she'asidim li'yos, וינוח גופם קצס מהמלם, ואינם שרויים כל כך בשמחה כמו ביום טוב, שנאמר בו ושמחת בחגיך. ולכן נשתר בי המנהג שלא לישא כפיים, כי אם בימים טובים כן נראה לי. The reason, the Rama writes, that the minhag was elided is because it took up too much of the working hours of Jews in Galus, who were bogged down with earning their daily bread of exile. All that they had to feed their families was the daily bread they earned each day, hand to mouth. This kind of life didn't lend itself to the joy that is required and that is necessary to enable the Kohanim to bless Bnei Yisrael be'ahava. So they couldn't just bounce back when there was a day of reprieve from work. Even on Shabbos, they didn't, because their thoughts were taken up with the things that they did the past week and the things that they had to do the next week. Only their bodies were able to rest from this heavy work. Shabbos brought that respite, but not the joy that they would feel on Yom Tov. And that is why the minhag evolved not to have Birkas Kohanim except on Yontif. And that's the opinion of the Rama. If we listen closely, we glean that the Rama leans on the assumption that there's a requisite state of mind necessary to bless Bnei Yisrael, of jubilation, Tov Lev Hu Yivarach. And a Kohen who is not happy is not kosher levarich. He isn't up to the task of Duchanin. According to the Rama, because of the tough times, the difficult lives of Jews in Galus, Yamim Tovim are the only days of the year that a Jew can achieve that kind of happiness. On regular weekdays, a person is brought to anguish for every moment he loses from his workday, whether it's due to regular tefillah or Birkas Kohanim. And on Shabbos, he still has not achieved that entirely altered level of consciousness and is generally preoccupied due to his difficult life. Only on Yamim Tovim, when there is an especial mitzvah to be happy, can a Jew reach that level of serenity and largesse that makes it possible and kosher for a Kohen to lift his hands for the bracha to Klal Yisrael, tendered in magnanimity and love. And so to the question directed to Rabbi Yaakov Sasportas in Ohal Yaakov. Leharav Rav Yitzchak Nunez Enriquez Leir Amsterdam Yagen Aleha Elokim Vzelushono She'elascha bevo hashmos Minavi Sheker Umashich Hoshabsai Tzvi Yemach Shemam Vizichram Nahagu b'kahalchem lomar birkos kohanim b'kol Shabbos, ma shelo nahagu mikodem l'kein, ki im b'yamim tovim belvad. V'ya'an shakol kavanasam haisa ledaktik b'mitzos b'chol midatova, la'asosa kehogen al menas, sheyizku liros b'tov malkom u'mashicham, hanahag b'fi hakol, lo amdu l'negdam hadivarim ha'ma'ak v'mi la'asosa b'shlemos, asher birkos kohanim ha'neskeres haisa echas mehem. וכאשר באבונוסינו הרבים היינו רצים כצבאים וקלם להאמין כל דבר, בלתי השקף על דברי רזל, אנשנו מלכנו האמיתי בעונש התאוס המסקלק האס, אשר מזה נראה לקצס גבירים שטובו לחזור למנהגם הראשון, כי בהיבטל הסבב ייבטל המסובב, וכל כוונסם לבטל ולהשגיח מאנוש זכרם של המתאים והתאוס אשר לנו יחשב לשמצה בקמנו, מלבד חילול השם ותורסו אשר כמעט היסה כשתי תורוס, וקצס מהקהילה הקדושה מעקבים, באמרם דמצווה ססהי וכיוון דהחזיקו בה, אינם יכולים להחזר ממנה, ורציסה לדעס להיכן היא נוטה דעתי הקלושה. The question surrounds the renewal of the practice of weekly Birkas Kohanim in the wake of Shabbosai Tzvi. Since previously the minhag was to say Birkas Kohanim only on Yom Tovim, the followers of Shabbosai Tzvi and a so-called prophet started to be Mevarich every Shabbos. Now, do we go back to the previous minhag, or because this is something that is actually a mitzvah d'oraisa, and we are obligated to perform it, since we started doing it every Shabbos, shouldn't we just continue? Or do we return to our previous tradition of Yamim Tovim only, which in fact has no watertight halachic basis or rationale? Nirali yoter tov v'nachal nachzar le'isanam harishon v'ro'e ani estevri hamochem u'ma'akvim il amra v'ta'amam v'nimukam imam. וכדי שיהיו הדברים מותאמים, ארחיב הדיבור בזה האם אינו צורך. הלא ידעת כי שבסי צבי הרשע, אם כן מטעם נביא שקר ומסיס ומדיח, אסור ללמד עליו זכוס. וכל שכן לגלגל זכוס על ידו, דמגלגלן זכוס על ידי זכאי וחוב על ידי חייו. ולמה נסכים לזכוסו במנהג חדש, המסנהג על ידו ובסיבוסו? ולנו תחשב לחובה ולא תהיה צדקה, נוסף על כי היוסה לו לתהילה ולשם ולנו לשמצו לחרפה ובוז על היוסנו נפתם אחריו. Rabbi Yaakov Sosportas continues at length and he states that we should go back to the previous minhag even if Birkas Kohanim is a mitzvah. It will cause us to remember Shabsai Tzvi in any positive light whatsoever, then it is worthwhile to refrain from the practice. And now together we get to go one step further on the holy chain of halachic writing and witness how another Gadol B'Yisrael understood Rav Yaakov's words in codifying his own halachic perspective. And we can witness the timelessness and unity of our Torah as generations come and generations go. The Satmar Rav, Rav Yoel Teitelbaum, learned Rav Yaakov's Sefer in great depth while he was writing his own Sefer Vayoel Moshe. He extracted his own conceptual premise from it, and about his own private copy of Tzitzas Novel Tzvi, his Gabbai wrote, the Rebbe utilized the Sefer and studied within it in great contemplation and for a very long time. The Satmar Rav's brilliance, his tzidkus, and his position on Zionism are well known and recalled often, especially in these terrible and turbulent times. Vayoel Moshe is a halachic treatise explicating the Satmar Rav's position on Zionism published in 1961. And this is what the Rebbe writes. ובעניין הליכה על כוסל המערבי ולמקומוס הקדושים שנכבשו זה עתה, שאמרתי למנוע מזה, יש לי בזה כמה טעמים ויסודות חזקים, וקצסם אשר אפרות פה, די בזה למבין, וישמע חכם ויוסף לקח, ואיש הנלבב יראה עמיסס הדברים, יבין ויעזן, ישמע וירווח לו. And as to the topic of going to the כוסל המערבי, and to the holy sites that were captured just now, which I have stated to refrain from visiting them, I have several reasons and strong principles for this, of which I will explicate just a modicum here. Ra'o ra'inu echad kadosh midaber, Moreinu Rav Yaakov Sosportas shahaya migdoli hadar biyamav. He quotes the decision of Rav Sosportas, and then he sums it up in the following way. Umeata nilmod le'inyanenu bekal v'chomer ben beno shel kal v'chomer, שהכריעה להלכה לבטל מצוס עשה דאורייסה כנסיעס כפיים, שמביא ברכה לישראל, וכוחו לבטל כללוס, ואף על פי פסק שראי לבטל מנהגם שלא ליתן זכוס למינים, ושלא יעלה עליו איש זכרונם. על אחס כמה וכמה בענייננו, דהחששת המשוכי גדול פי כמה, כי המינים מספערים שהשיגה ידם לכבוש המקומס הקדושים בכוחם ובגבורסם, ועל ידם נסחדי שאפשרוס לגשס עליהם, אין ספק שבהליכה לשם נוסנים להם חיזוק רב, וגורם להיוס נפתם ונמשכים אחריהם אלפים ורבבוס. עד ישקיף השם מספרך שמו עלינו, ואז כולנו נעלה לציון ברינה, ובעבוד הספייס המקדש נשמח כולנו. Just as the minhag of Birkas Kohanim, which is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa and brings blessing to Klal Yisrael, and has the power to revoke any curses against us, even so, the decision was made that it was preferable to stop and to nullify the practice rather than give any merit to heretics who should never be recalled. How much more so in our situation, where the suspicion of being pulled along is far greater. The heretics, in our case, are proud of their achievement of these holy sites by way of their own power and might. And through them, we have access to these places once again. Undoubtedly, by visiting these sites, we are strengthening their position and causing hundreds of thousands to be attracted to them. We must wait until HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down upon us, and then all of us will joyously ascend to Tzion to serve in the Beis HaMikdash in unity and rapture. The Satmar Rebbe, the greatest of greats, was strong in his hashkafa, and many other Gedolei Yisrael did not agree with him. They traveled to the Kosel, that lone vestige of our holy Beis HaMikdash, with staggering emotion, their hearts bursting, copious tears cascading from the deepest wells of their souls. And that is the Jewish way. Every stream, each and every one, flows forth as it will, all of them united in yearning and hope for the true Mashiach ben David to arrive and redeem us and to build our Beis HaMikdash forthwith.